God allowed that to happen. When Moses was called by God to go before Pharaoh and he said, let my people go, God could have shaped Pharaoh's heart from the very first moment and not had to send 10 plagues. But God allowed that. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai getting the 10 commandments, you remember what was happening in the valley below? The people were building a golden calf and worshiping it. God could have stopped that. When the people of Israel disobeyed God over and over and over, and they rejected him and wanted a king, he could have prevented that. He told Moses, he said, we're going to let them do it because they're not rejecting you. Samuel, he told that to. When other kings sinned and they just kept going over, and we talk about the roller coaster ride that Israel is on. They're walking with God, and then they sin, and God has a judgment, sin consequences, and they do it again. And we just see over and over and over their choices. And God could have stepped in anywhere along the line and prevented that from happening. Why did God permit all those things to occur? We could ask those questions in many cases in our own lives as well. Where was God? I like what Job's response was. Job said, he's with me. I know in the midst of his trials, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that's where we're going to begin this morning. But where was God on 9/11? And I can tell you, he was exactly where he was 2,000 years ago when his son died on the cross. And that's if I was going to ask God where you were anywhere in Scripture, that's the question. Where were you? How could you have watched your son die on the cross? The horror, the pain, the anguish, the people just being evil. Not just the thorns driven into his head. Not just the lashes on his back. Not just the bruise from the reeds and the punches of the soldiers. Not just the plucking of his beard. Not just, I don't know if you watched the football game the other night, the Eagles player, the very first play of the game, the quarterback from the Cowboys spit toward the Eagles player, but they didn't catch that. But the Eagles player responded and went over and spit on his chest. And we were just talking about, I guess Joe and I were talking about this morning. I said, if someone spit on me, I'm sorry, all humanity would come out. If someone spit at me, I could probably handle it on my shirt, but if they spit in my face, which happened yesterday at a football game in college, I said, I would have gone crazy. There would have been a fight. And not that I would have won, but I would have fought. But imagine that, the spitting into his face, not just that, not just the nails into his hands, into his feet, not just the spear into his side. All of those things, all of the pain, plus to think he was carrying all of our sin on his shoulders. So we have all the pain, all the sin, and then what was the worst thing? His father turned his back on him. Where was God? Didn't God care that his only son was dying on the cross? Didn't God care that the world was such a mess that they were allowing that? God could have prevented it. God could have stepped in. He was not helpless. He was not unaware. Of course he knew what was going on. Of course God could have stopped. God could have prevented it from going any further, and Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Except that was the price for our sins, wasn't it? He had to die for us to be redeemed. God didn't prevent it. I'm sure he didn't enjoy suffering. He didn't like watching his son suffer and die for us, but he permitted it. A few years ago, a teen and youth group, when we were meeting together, handed me a track, and it said, and the question on it was, how could one man be the way? How could one man be the way? And then it went on and it explained how Christ promised right over there, I am the way, the truth and life. How could one man be the way? We need to understand when we talk about Christ that God had a larger picture in view. He understood that greater good was going to be accomplished by allowing his son to die on the cross. Through Jesus' suffering, the whole world would be made whole. Through his sacrifice alone, the entire world would have opportunity to have their sins forgiven. Through the death of one, many would have life. That was the way that Jesus became the way. So rather than just idly sitting by and watching his son suffer, Jesus was fully aware of what was going on. And we can understand this. I have this in your notes there. Lamentations chapter 3. We went through Lamentations a month or so ago after we finished Jeremiah, but it said, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I have my hope in him. God wasn't surprised by 9/11. I'm sure he was saddened by it. God did not cause 9/11, but he brings comfort to those who suffered in it. God may not prevent future acts of terrorism, but we know that he's with us in the midst of those. I had several students over the years when I was subbing ask, Mr. Hay, do you think another attack will ever, whether it was being serious or they just wanted to find out my opinion politically, they said, do you think another 9/11 attack is ever possible? I said, certainly it's possible. I'm not sure it'll ever happen in America, but somewhere in the world is going to be an attack like 9/11, that people are going to die needlessly because that is man's heart. We are evil. We are wicked. But we continue to ask, where was God? And I have just a couple of things here for you to write down in your notes. Number one is look back. Look back. 14 years ago here, we honored the memory of those who died. If you remember, if you were attending at that time, we had local firemen, we had local police, we had some state police who came that day. And we just celebrated the first responders, and we gave them a plaque, a couple different plaques we had made up from Draper Baptist Church. But we were blessed to have them here in our service, and we wanted them to know that we appreciated all that they did, as Billy mentioned, just to watch these men and women enter the place, these towers, when everybody else was trying to get out. These men were going up, and 3,000 people, believe, died because of that. And I'm really grateful for the real heroes in our country. But it does cause us to look back. And I have the question in your notes. What have you learned about God's faithfulness to you in the past? What has God taken you through that you can say, God has been faithful? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I know that. God instructed the Israelites to remember. If you look back to the Old Testament, it seemed like it would have been a fun time to live. I mean, you have this party, you celebrate Passover, you celebrate this. It just seemed like there was always partying going on and remembering God's hand of blessings. And he said, remember your history. Well, we did this story a few years ago, and we said, as we were going through that, was really Genesis through Revelation, and we bought the book, and all of you had that. But we said, history is really his story. That's what history is. We see God's work in our nation. We see God's work in our own personal lives. And we can see God's hand of protection. Does God always protect the way we want him to? No. We've had several in our church family have gone through cancer. We've had several who died during COVID from our church. And we would say, God, you didn't protect the way I wanted you to. You didn't answer the prayers the way we were asking. We were meeting every Wednesday night, God, and we were praying specifically for these needs, and you did not answer. Well, he did answer, just didn't answer the way we thought was best, but he did what he knows is best. Some people say that God was giving America another chance to repent, and I remember in the months after that, after 9/11, probably maybe a couple weeks later in September, maybe October, I think our pastor played a video of, do you remember that afternoon, all of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, stood on the steps of the Capitol. Do you remember that? And they sang God Bless America. Republicans, Democrats, and I remember people saying, this is the beginning of unifying time in America. Well, that lasted about 3 days, didn't it? It didn't last long. So perhaps God was giving us an opportunity to repent. But we do know this. We do know that God was on his throne on 9/11, and he is today. We question it. We sometimes wonder, God, don't you care? Don't you see? Don't you understand what I'm going through? Don't you understand how painful this is? But he's on his throne. So we can look back and be assured of that. We can look around is the second thing. How has the world changed in 24 years? Think about the New terminology that are used, weapons of mass destruction, all those things that we never even thought about before. We didn't think about, I remember flying before 9/11. Just take your bag and you go through and get on. I remember taking a group of our girls from our church in Corning. We were going down to a youth conference. So I was going down for the teens. It was a huge youth conference down in Atlanta. And I had the two girls who were in charge of the kids program. I had someone in charge of the nursery and a girl who was kind of over Christian Ed. So I was traveling with four ladies from our church. And some of you know Randy Snavely on the air. His wife, Christina, was there. And we were going through Buffalo. And this was just like a year or two afterwards. And there was a picture with a bomb, like a black thing with a fuse coming out of it with a line through it. And Christina just jokingly said, like, I have a bomb in my suitcase, about that loud. Well, they came over and they took her and they grabbed her out of the line. And we're standing there, we were afraid for her because we knew she was joking, but it was just such a foolish thing to say. She was like, I really have a bomb in my suitcase. Well, they didn't mess around. They took her out and they opened everything up. And then they grabbed her sister because they looked at some of the things. It was Judy and Christina. And they took Judy out and they made, I don't know if they made them strip down, but they took them behind a curtain and they went through everything. And Christina came out so sheepish. She was so embarrassed that she had done that. She goes, that was the dumbest thing I might have ever done in my life. But just understand, they were taking stuff very seriously. You couldn't mention a bomb. But how things have changed in our lifetime over these last 24 years. There's been more fights. There's been more wars. That song we just sang, there's going to be wars until Jesus comes. We have heightened security everywhere. Think about how 9/11 impacted our kids. I remember that afternoon of 9/11, I went back. We took a girl who was getting ready to leave for Cedarville out for lunch, and that was just a very down time. She was leaving the next day, and we took Kristen out, and it was going to be a time of just kind of us, Cheryl and I, having a good time with one of our teenagers, and it was such a downer. They had this playing all through the restaurant, and we were just kind of watching that. But I got back to the office, and one of our school teachers, Dana Plummer, called and said, can she meet me for a few minutes? So actually, I was home, so I went over to my office, and we just prayed together. And she just said, Pastor Ron, she said, this was the worst day ever of teaching. She goes, you could just see the impact of the little faces on these kids. I think she taught first or second grade. And she said, they understood fear. She goes, they were scared to death because of what they were seeing. Imagine how that has impacted children still. All they've ever heard of since then is radical Islam. They've heard about all these different things of ISIS killing Christians. All those things have appeared. Remember the Christians on the beach dressed in orange and guys with guns behind them? We saw the pictures of that. We saw videos of that. Young people saw that as well. And understand how that's impacted them. They've only heard about racial fear all of their lives, but yet they understand what racial differences are, and they're learning to accept people who are different than them, but yet they're also willing to overlook all kinds of behavior of stuff that's going on in our world. They understand, you know, transition or people who are transitioning and people who are, you know, you can't label someone a sinner, obviously, because then you're going to be destroyed. But young people are just being taught, accept everything. Just because people are different than us, we can understand, we can accept all of that. And that's nonsense. There is a difference between people who know Christ and people who are sinners. Sinners who don't know Christ and behave that way need a relationship with Christ, and we cannot overlook and accept sin. We can't accept when Saki and Tim Kaine get up and say, don't pray. Take God out of it. We cannot allow that kind of stuff to be taught and accept that. But yet, we need to understand, we look around us and we understand how terrible the world is. When the stuff going on around us seems to get worse and worse and worse, and it's going to, we need to remember that this is not our home. Our home in heaven is going to be far, far different than this world here. And we just look around and we keep in mind that God is still on his throne. It grieves God's heart when he looks and he sees the sin. When he sees the homosexual lifestyle, when he sees this whole LGBTQ community, it grieves God's heart because that's not the way God designed it. It grieves God's heart when he sees divorce and divorce and divorce and divorce over and over again. He hates it when he sees children being abandoned and parents leaving kids, and it grieves God's heart. We need to look around and keep in mind God is still on the throne and God's heart is for the lost, and he wants us to have that heart. And then we need to look ahead. What do believers have to look forward to? What do we as Christians have to look forward to? I can say I don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know what. Who holds tomorrow? We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to be for you. I don't know what next year is going to happen for our church. I wish I knew. I wish I could predict the future. I always love these people who stand up and tell you exactly what's going to happen. And if they could really tell the future, they would be billionaires because they would know the stock market, right? All these people who tell you they know the future don't really know it. And I wish I could tell you. I don't know what the new earth is going to look like. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I can guess and I can have dreams and expectations. But I know it's going to be beautiful beyond any comprehension. I can't imagine the tranquility and the peace and just the love that we're going to experience in heaven. But I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to see God and I'm going to see Jesus. And I'm going to experience his throne. And I put this in your notes. We're going to be crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the one who is worthy." So we look ahead to that. We look behind us and look back and we see God has been faithful. We look around and we know that God still is faithful. In the midst of all the evil and all the chaos around us, God is still in control. But the day when the planes hit the World Trade Center, God, I can tell you, wasn't sleeping. He wasn't caught off guard. He didn't catch him by surprise. He wasn't blindsided. But in his wisdom and his sovereignty and his goodness and his faithfulness and his love and his mercy, all that came into play as he was ruling from his throne. So where was God? I don't know why he didn't prevent it, but we ask ourselves, why didn't he prevent all these other things? And when we pray, we know that he hears us. And we can just imagine that very soon we're going to be in his throne room. And I put this, I don't know all that heaven holds for us, but I do know that Christ will be there. And we know that prayer worked. Even though Jen Psaki said, don't bother praying, don't give us Christian thoughts, don't pray to a God who's not really there. We know that prayer worked because he's always been present with us. And we will be with him. Think about that. If he's not present now, and we know he is, when we get there, we're going to be present with him because we're going to be where he is. If Jesus can't be omnipresent, if he really isn't, and we know that he is, so I'm just saying what the world says. If God isn't omnipresent, if God isn't everywhere at once, the day we arrive in heaven, we'll still be with him because he's on his throne right now. And you and I are going to be with him for eternity. So we can look back rejoicing that God is in control, or was in control. We can look around us with the peace that God gives us because he's in control right now. And then we look ahead for that day when he does return. Come, Jesus, come. Let it be today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for that even on 9/11, in the midst of a terrible, terrible day in our nation's history, you were there. And Lord, we thank you that you are present today. And Lord, we look forward to your return. And we do say, Lord, as we look ahead, come, Jesus, come. Lord, change hearts. Change the evil. Overcome the wickedness in the world through your word. Use us as your children to minister to the lost and help us to see folks coming to Christ. Lord, we have so much to rejoice in, and we are so grateful for the cross. We're so grateful for the empty tomb, and we look forward to the day when we spend eternity with you and we do stand right where you are in your very presence. Lord, assure us of your presence right now as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our men to meet me in the front. We're gonna. appreciate these guys serving. We have a lot of our board are away today traveling, so I appreciate these guys filling in. But we're about to take the communion table, and as we talked about this morning, looking back, we're looking back right now of what Christ did on the cross for us. He suffered, he bled, he died, he took all that stuff we talked about, the bruising, the turning of the Father on his back on him and just leaving him, forsaking him for that short period of time. We look around and we realize that the cross is still very applicable to where we are today. What a Savior, and our world needs it. And we look ahead too. That's what communion is. It's a looking back to his suffering, and it's a looking ahead to his return. And that's what we're asking you to do this morning. We're asking you to look at your heart and make sure there's no known sin in your life as you partake of this morning, and just confess any sin. But I'm going to ask Larry if you'd ask a blessing on the bread, and then Billy, right after that, ask a blessing on the cup. And we're going to serve both during the song, and then we'll come back and take it together, okay? So Larry, ask a blessing on the bread.
Heavenly Father, we come to you humble. Thank you for providing us a way to be with you through your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for sacrificing so much. Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we are welcome at your table, the table of grace. Thank you for the blood that was spilt for us, a price that we could not pay. Father, that Jesus paid it all for us, that we can enter into eternity and live here on this earth with you as this happens today because of the price that was paid. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So just hold on to the bread until the cup comes around, then we'll take it back together at the end of the song. So realize that was a little bit of a different way of doing it, different than what we normally do. But I'm sorry the song froze on us. But the table of grace, that's what we're here for. So we're going to take the bread together. This is his body, which was broken for us. Let's do it in remembrance of him. Let's take it together.